All right, let's talk about the temptation of Christ for a second. Jesus gets baptized, he's up, he's out into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit is upon him, and he goes out into the wilderness to pray. Satan himself, not some high-ranking demon or something, Satan comes to tempt Christ directly. So let's take a look at the strategy used, because the strategy used on Jesus is the strategy used on us. And if we're aware of this, we can more clearly see what's going on and respond correctly rather than succumbing. All right, first of all, the devil is after him for 40 days. So he's just hammering Jesus. And Jesus is fasting. And so as the days go by, he is weakening. And so he's not only getting hammered by temptation, but he's also weakening in his body. The devil sees this and comes after physical needs first. Hey, make these stones bread, eat up. You don't really have to do this. Of course, Jesus resists and quotes scripture, sends him away. Satan comes after the things that we think we need physically, or things that we just want. Anything that our physical body would be after, or think that we need. The devil ramps it up from there, takes him where he can see all of the kingdoms of the world. He says, bow down to me and I will give this all to you. It's like, you don't have to go through with any of your plans. This can be over in an instant and I'll give it all to you. Isn't this what you've come for? Aren't you trying to take this back? I'll just give it back. Just worship me. And that would have made things so much easier for Jesus. Of course, it wouldn't have worked. So first, he's offered the easy way out. And second, he's offered all the kingdoms of the world, all right? So what he's being offered here is not only everything contained in the first temptation, everything his body could ever want or desire, but power, prestige, honor, glory, ownership of all of the earth and all of its kingdoms. Jesus, of course, sends him away again. You shall worship the Lord your God and only him. And this goes back to the Ten Commandments. And this also goes back to some of the things that we've been talking about here. What are the idols in our lives? What are the things we are willing to bow our knee to over God? What are the things that we are willing to bow to for what we want or what it will give us in the way of pleasure or power or prestige or anything, affirmation of any sort? Over God, when we can recognize that, we can do as Jesus did. Resist the devil by saying, there is no God in my life before God. God and God alone is whom I serve. And when we break it down in the moment, it's easy enough to say, you know what? The truth is, I really don't want that. I may think that I want that, but in reality, that will destroy the connection I have to my Father. And that I really don't want. It's not worth it. Inside these two temptations really encompass all of the human being. Whether it's lust for sex or power or glory or recognition, whatever. Or whether it's just the needs of the physical body. These two temptations kind of cover the gamut of the human experience. So Jesus gets through these two things. The devil takes him to the top of the temple. And what does he do? It's not really another temptation. It's sort of a back door here. He says basically this. Prove it. All right, prove it. Prove that you really are who you say that you are. Cover. So as we continue through our life and we rid ourselves of the things that come before God, we rid ourselves from ourselves, really. We come to the end of ourselves. Then the tactic that remains is prove it. Prove yourself. And you know what? The thing is, we don't have anything to prove. That's really what Jesus is saying. You can't tempt me. I am the Lord your God. You cannot tempt me. I don't have anything to prove to you. Your voice in my life is null and void. I have nothing to prove. I have only to glory in God my Savior.